John chapter 7. This morning, as we progress through this book of John, we have already looked at part of this chapter. We looked at dealing with trouble last week and how trouble comes from different sources and how we are to not invite trouble upon ourselves. In John chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus made a decision not to walk in certain places because the Jews sought to kill him. And we know that Christ was not afraid, and they couldn't do anything until it was his hour, until he allowed them. But he gave us an example there of how we've got enough trouble, we don't have to go around looking for more. We don't have to invite trouble into our lives. We also saw there that his brethren, these are his physical earthly brothers, his half-brothers, okay, that tried to get him to do something, tried to get him to boast, tried to get him to show off. And sometimes we have problems that come from the people closest around us, from family members. So we looked at all of that. And this week we come to verse 14, John chapter 7, verse 14. Okay, now Christ has gone up into Jerusalem, and this Feast of the Tabernacles is going on. There are two reasons why we will not go through all of these feasts. One being that time, and we don't need to go through those right now. And two, because I can't remember them all. I can't remember all of the feasts off the top of my head and what each one of them was for. There are preachers that can, and they can rattle them all off. I just can't remember them all, okay? But the Feast of the Tabernacle was going on, and Christ goes up, and we're going to find him in the temple teaching, okay? Now, before we get into that, I just want to give you this thought. As Christians, we hear a lot of preaching, okay? Over your life as a Christian, who knows how, you know, some people might have one pastor their whole life and they never hear anybody but that person preach. Now, that's pretty rare. That's pretty rare. Even if you were born into a certain church and you stayed there your whole life, and the pastor that was there when you were born, was there that whole, you know, while you were growing up, still, churches have what? They have visiting preachers come in. They have evangelists. And so it's rare for Christians to only hear one preacher. Some of us have heard many preachers. Maybe we have been in a lot of different churches. Maybe we have been in churches that had more than one preacher through the years. Some of you here, okay? Some of you here. I know that this number is very small. We only have a few people here like that, but for some of you, I'm your third pastor. Now, that's pretty good in over 45 years of a church, okay? And I can say that because it doesn't have anything to do with me. That's a testament of Faith Baptist Church sticking with the Word through the years. That the first pastor, Brother Romans, was here until he went home to be with the Lord. And then Brother Gibson left, not under a cloud, but on a good note. That's rare. I'm telling you, if you've not been out there and been in a lot of churches, that's rare. I've been in churches where the list of pastors is that long. I mean, and churches that haven't been around as long as this one. Okay? So for some of you, I'm your third pastor, or I'm your second pastor. Maybe I'm your 13th or 14th if you've been in other churches. I don't know. But this is what I want to point out real quick. It really doesn't have anything to do with the preaching this morning. It's just something that I've always found fascinating. Think of all the different preachers that some of us have heard. And we would say that some were the best preachers we've ever heard and the worst and just kind of mediocre in the middle. We all have that list, don't we? But of all the preaching we've ever heard, what must it have been like to hear Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world, preaching? See, we are preaching his gospel. We're preaching about him. He preached what came directly from the Father. God the Father, and he's God the Son. We're not told anywhere in Scripture that this is going to happen. But wouldn't you just love when we get to heaven to sit down and just have Him preach to us for maybe 7, 8, 9,000 years? I mean, we're going to have the time, right? Wouldn't it be wonderful just to hear? I can't wrap my mind around what it must have been like to hear the Savior. It's one thing when we proclaim the Savior of the world. What must it have been like to hear that Savior Himself preaching? Something else that we need to keep in mind, and then we'll get into the sermon this morning, is we ought not be surprised whenever we preach the gospel. We preach the Savior of the world, and people don't get saved. When the Savior of the world Himself preached, there were people who wouldn't listen. Okay? We need to keep that in mind. But here we have in verse 14, Christ is in the temple and He's teaching. Now look at what it says. It says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Dear God, one more time, we just ask for Your help. I ask for Your help as I preach it, and we all need Your help to receive it and to be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. To say this morning that I want to preach about the truth would be, you would say, well, that's an oversimplification. You always preach about the truth. We preach the Bible. We're always preaching the truth in here. But I want to look this morning at some facts about the truth, some specific facts about the truth. I really don't know how to introduce this to you. You'll just get it as we go along. There's really not much of a setup or a segue that I can do. Let's just look at some facts concerning the truth of God's Word and how it's received and what it does for us. The first thing that I want us to see this morning, just a few things that we need to notice, and the first thing that I want us to see here that I believe God wants us to see this morning is in verse 15. Okay, so Jesus is preaching in the temple, He's teaching in the temple, and it says, "And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? What we see here in this verse, in verses 14 and specifically in 15, is the view that sometimes the world has about the truth, or the view that the world sometimes has about those who preach the truth, or Christians who proclaim the truth. You realize that standing before you this morning might be a preacher, a man who's called to pastor a church, but every one of us has a responsibility to preach and spread the gospel. Not everyone is called to pastor a church or do something like that, but we are all told to be witnesses, we are all told to have a part in the Great Commission, and we all proclaim or preach the gospel when we tell people how to be saved. Okay? So, the world has its way, pardon me, of looking at people who proclaim the truth of God. The world has its way of viewing us. And we kind of see it a little bit here with the Jews. It's not a complete, right? We don't see all of their views here, but we do see a little bit of what we encounter with the world sometimes. And that is this. They said, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Now, they're not saying, how's this guy know how to read? Nobody ever taught him how to read. That's not what they're saying. They're saying, how does he know the law? How does he know the word? He's not one of us. We didn't teach him. What they're saying is, how does he know these things? You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, what they did was, and the priests and all of them, what they would do is they would train. Okay, they would train other people. You had to come up. Paul talks about how he learned from Gamaliel and how he learned all about the law from him. That was his mentor. So they had to teach you. They had to pass it down to you. And Christ was out of nowhere, basically, to them, those in Jerusalem. Here comes this guy, and we didn't teach him. Not one of us. He didn't go to our school. How's he know this stuff? How does he know this? The Jews can't understand how Jesus knows what he knows. He's speaking, and they're baffled. They're marveled. I believe that we still see a lot of that today. We see it in different ways, but we still see a lot of that today. One attitude that we encounter is, if you don't have a certain level of education. Now, I'm all for education if it's good education. Okay? I'm all for it. I think you ought to finish school. You're going to high school or whatever, you ought to finish it. I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Now, I grew up being taught in the school system that I grew up in. I grew up being taught that any of us that didn't attend college, we weren't going to make it. We weren't going to make it. If you don't go to college, you are not going to make it. Okay, you might as well just go down to the shelter now and reserve a bed and a bowl of beans. You're not going to make it if you don't go to college. That's basically what we were taught. I had a shop teacher, one of the best teachers that I ever had. Mr. Reese was his name. I believe he was from over here in Terre Haute. But Rod Reese was his name, but one of the best teachers. And it's not because I'm a guy and he taught shop, okay? That was part of it, okay? That was part of it. He was also just a nice, wonderful man, but he tried more than a lot of the other teachers to prepare us for life after school, okay? Now, he had us convinced that if we couldn't leave school and start making $100,000 right away, we might as well just go jump off a bridge. You ain't gonna make it in today's world. Now, looking back, as I'm older now, I can say, I'm glad he did that, because even though his numbers weren't right, he didn't really say 100,000, but he did have us, I know he had me shaking, man, what am I going to do? But you know what it did? It made me think. What it did was it made me take life after school more seriously. I'm not saying that I always made all the right choice, but it did make me think, you know what? I'm going to have to get out there and work. Okay? His numbers I don't agree with, but what it did do was it made me stop and think, it's going to be tough out there. It's going to be tough out there. Okay? Now, I was raised with that mentality. And what I believe is that if you need to go to school, if you need to seek higher education for some certain purpose, for a career that you're going into, that might be exactly what you need to do. But then there are some people that they don't need that or can't do that, and so what they do is they get training somewhere. Or maybe they go to take a different program or something. But here's what I'm getting at this morning. There is a mentality that was there when I was growing up, and it still exists, that, well, if you haven't been to college, you don't know anything. You don't know anything. If you haven't been educated to a certain degree by the world, you don't know anything. But the world doesn't know anything. I'm not saying there isn't education to be gained out there. There absolutely is. But how much of it is infused with the world's philosophy? Remember when going to school, you used to just be going and learning the facts and learning the skills, when it wasn't about an agenda and it wasn't about a philosophy and it was just going to school. You just went and learned how to do what it was you needed to learn how to do, and it wasn't, we're trying to change your brains and we're trying to make you think the way that we think, and we want you to agree with our politics, and we want you. Remember when school was just, you just learned the facts and learned what to do with them? So what I'm saying is this, the world has this idea, a lot of people in the world have this idea, well, if you haven't been educated to a certain degree, then you're just stupid. When the truth is, because of some, again, understand, we're not saying higher education is wrong. We're saying it's good for some people and then other people it's not. And you have to be very careful when you choose that higher education. You have to be very careful. I'm glad they make doctors go to school for as long as they do. I don't want him getting out of high school and his uncle is a dentist and he says, well, just come down and I'll show you how to do it. I'm glad you see, even Kennedy thought that was a good one. I'm glad they don't do that. Okay, look. Is it not true that we live in a world full of educated idiots? We live in a world of a lot of people who they've got the diplomas on the wall. They've got the letters on the wall. They have all of these letters behind their name. And they're fools. Maybe they lack common sense. Many of them do. Maybe they don't know how to do the simplest of things. Maybe they're regarded as geniuses. They have no idea what this book says, and that makes you foolish. To have the world's wisdom and not know what this book says makes you foolish. Here's the thing. There's this mentality out there that looks down on people who haven't been educated to the degree that they have. And here's the Jews looking at Christ. Who taught him? Where'd he learn this? So look. If Christ was up against it, you and I will face it too. You and I will face it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go there with me for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Pardon me. No, 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's go to verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Oh, you think that you can get educated to the point where you will reject God? You think you can get educated in the world's wisdom to the point where you turn your back on God and turn every day? Every day. Boy, you're so wise, but you don't even know where you're going to spend eternity, or you don't even care. Okay? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, the Bible isn't saying that preaching is foolish. It's foolishness to the world. What we're doing today makes no sense to them. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Not many people who are known to be scholars in the world are called to do this work or to preach the gospel. Why? Well, you go back there to verse 21. Many of them have let the wisdom of the world keep them from seeing the wisdom of God. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that those that God calls are idiots. But by the world's standard, they think we're idiots. Okay? Now look. For 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, I like where it says there, in verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Have you ever noticed, it's almost like the world looks at you and scratches their head. It's almost like they look at you and just, that doesn't make any sense. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Why would you live that way? Don't you know it's Sunday, you only get a couple days off a week? Don't you know it's Sunday, you only get one day off a week? Why would you do that? Don't you know you could be partying and having a good time with us? Why? It doesn't make any sense. Someone, Amy was telling me this morning that someone, she was telling somebody outside of this church, she was telling somebody about our trip that we took. We take a little trip every spring. And this last time, we just went down to Shackamack State Park, just about had it to ourselves. Had beautiful weather and nobody in the way out on the lake fishing and camping. It was just wonderful, peaceful, beautiful. She was saying something about that to somebody. And this person who doesn't get the way that we live or the way that we run our marriage or our home said, what did you do the whole time? I said, well, we fished. And Amy said, at one point, I just, you know, the fish weren't really biting that first day. And so she said, I just put my pole down and got some sun and we just were out on the boat talking. And we did. We had to anchor down. Wasn't anybody out there? And you know how peaceful it is to be on a little lake and a little rowboat. We're just talking. And this person said to her, this person who thinks that they're so wise because of the world, this person said, you still have stuff to talk about? There was another person there who is older than us and who had just retired. And was talking, and that person was talking about how she and her husband have been traveling because she always wanted to travel. And this person turned to the retired lady and said, and you still have stuff to talk about too? Couldn't understand it. She was confounded. Confounded by something that I know for a fact this person thinks is foolishness. Confounded by that. Isn't it something how the world looks at God's word and those who live by God's word? And, well, it doesn't make any sense. Now, that's gone a little bit further than what we see with Christ and the Jews, but where we began was this. The world looks at those who proclaim God's word. The world looks at Christians and they just don't get it. And some of them don't get it because you don't have the education that they have. Some pastors, and shame on them, by the way, shame on them, look down on others who didn't go to their Bible college. Didn't go where they went to school. The Bible college that I started out in, most of my classes had no more than 3 people in them. It was just starting up. It was tiny. And the Bible college that that I study through now, I do on my own time at home. If I even mentioned them, most, maybe all of you would say, I ain't never heard of either one of them. But there are preachers who will look down on other preachers because you're not from their camp. That's a big word in fundamental Baptist. I don't know why, but that's a big thing. Well, you know, it's from our camp, and you're not from their camp. You're not from their group. You're not from their school. I'll tell you, there's a lot of them that I wouldn't have in here to preach because of their schools. We had a missionary contact us here recently, who I didn't invite because of the school. I know too much about the school and too much about the people that come out of that school, and we weren't even going to go down that road. I realized that maybe he was different, and sometimes some of them are. We're not even going to go down that road. But there are people who look down on others because you're not educated. You don't know anything as far as their standards. Or, this would be more in line with what the Jews were doing here, was, you didn't go to our school. We didn't teach you. How do you know this? I want you to know this, or I want you to notice this. They couldn't deny that he knew what he was talking about. It wasn't, you don't know what you're talking about because we didn't teach you. Where'd you learn that at? How do you know how to do that? Okay? My boys. And I'm thankful for how, you know, they enjoy music, and it's just almost to the point I can't play with them anymore. They passed me up last year. I just almost can't play with them. I'm just barely trying to keep up. They'll pick up my guitar. Colin started doing it first. And he's doing all this stuff on here. You know, I've been playing all since I was like 16. And he'll pick it up, do all this stuff, and go play a banjo. Put that guitar down. Why don't you go play a banjo? Okay? Alex is doing it now. The other day, Alex had the guitar, and he was doing this little lick. And can I not have anything? Can I just have one thing? You guys have to have it all. We were listening to some music yesterday, listening to this fiddle song, and Alex said, I haven't played any fiddle in a while. Oh, shut up. Now, what if I looked at them and said, what if I looked down on them or got upset with them because I didn't teach them that? They know how to do some things that they didn't learn from me, but they know how to do it right. What if I looked down on them and said, I didn't teach you how to do that. No, Dad says, how do you do that? Where'd you learn that at? I don't even bother anymore. I'm too old at this point to mess with it. I am. I'll just play the way I play and let that be that. These Jews, look what it said. How knoweth this man letters having never learned? What they're saying is, he didn't go here. We didn't teach him. How does he know that? There are men who will look down on those who didn't go to Bible college, or maybe didn't go to their Bible college, or didn't go at all. And sadly, I just want to throw this in, there are some who mock those who did go. I would never tell a preacher that's just been called, you better go to Bible college. I had people tell me that, but I would never tell a preacher, you better go. I would tell them, if that's what you need to do, then go do that. But I know a man who went to Bible college, and another man who didn't go to Bible college, and both of them are doing about the same amount of preaching opportunities. Okay? Here's what we're trying to get to. The world looks at us as, how do you know that? Or you didn't go to our school. We didn't teach you that. As we saw in 1 Corinthians, they even get to the point where it's foolish to them. Okay, but go to Galatians chapter 1. Go to Galatians chapter 1. And verse 10. Now, while you're turning there, let me read something to you out of John. In verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Okay? Now, look over here at Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Paul says, I was one of them. One of those Jews, one of those Pharisees. They're the ones that taught me. I learned of them. I was one of the best. Boy, I was zealous. I was persecuting the church. I knew. Now look. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. God calls you to do something. God tells you to do something out of His Word. It doesn't matter if everybody around you has a problem with it. It doesn't matter if everybody around you questions. Yeah, but you didn't learn that from us, or we didn't teach that to you, or where did you get? You know it's God's Word. You just obey God's Word. And then he says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. You know what Paul's saying here? He's saying, hey, God called me to do this. God taught me what I needed to know. I didn't have to go up and get the approval of another man. And so the Jews are looking at Jesus, how does he know this stuff, having never learned? And the world will look at Christians, and sometimes maybe it happens more with other Christians. Well, we didn't lay hands on you. You didn't go to our school. We didn't give you our mark or our seal of approval. Well, that's okay because God didn't tell me to go get it. God didn't tell me that I needed it. God tells a man to do something. God calls a man to do something. He tells you to do something, tells me to do something. From His Word, we don't have to argue and get other people's approval. We just have to get God's approval by being obedient to His Word. And maybe what this all boils down to is this. We have to stop allowing the so-called scholars of this world to intimidate us to where we feel inferior and we won't spread the gospel. We have to stop allowing these people who are wise by the world's standard to keep us from preaching God's Word. We have to stop allowing people who boast and they're in their own wisdom and all of these things to make us think, well, I guess maybe I don't really know as much as I thought I knew. No, if you know God's Word, you know more than they'll ever know. If you know what this book says, if you know the gospel, you know more than they'll ever know. Isn't it something how the wisdom of the world works? Isn't it something? We just read there in 1 Corinthians where it talks about how foolish the world is. Well, they think that they're wise, but look at how foolish that they are. I don't, excuse me, you know that I don't follow the news or anything, but somebody sent me something, and then a couple days ago, and I didn't read all of it, I just looked at part of it, and then Alex was telling me the same story that he'd heard on the news. And apparently, our president made a comment, maybe some of you know this, made a comment about some killers and gang members being animals, okay? I don't know anything about it, I just know that he made a comment about some, okay? Well, this is not a political statement, but even if it was, who cares? Okay? This has nothing to do with who the president is or who the president is not. It has nothing to do with party. I can agree with that. If you're a murderer, if you do some of the things that some of these people do, that's animalistic. Okay? But that's not what we're going to get into. That's not what we're going to get into. Because I didn't even hear the guy make the comment. I just heard that he called some of these people animals. Okay? Apparently that upset some people. All right? Again, it's not a political thing. We're talking about the world and its foolishness. Why is it wrong? Why is it wrong? I'm going to kind of reword something that somebody else said. Why is it wrong when someone acts like a barbaric animal to call them an animal? But it is okay to say that an unborn child, an embryo, a fetus, is not a person? Let me give that one to you again. Don't call somebody an animal whenever they act like an animal. That's degrading. Okay, when they do something barbaric, don't call them an animal. And don't you dare call that little baby a person either. That's not a person yet. Now, is there anyone in here that can explain that to me, can logically explain to me, makes sense? Example of how foolish this world is, and I'm telling you that this world's full of educated people who believe that way. People who would tell you, we've done all the studies. We're doctors and we're scientists. The world's full of educated people who have taken more college courses than I could shake a stick at, who still would look at me and say, you know, we all came from nothing. Educated idiots. That's what the world's full of. And it's those who will look at God's people and say, you're all a bunch of idiots. You're all a bunch of foolish morons. You don't know anything. Bunch of simpletons working at a gas station and try to tell me something. Working as a clerk or a teller and you're going to tell, don't you know who I am? I know exactly who you are. This word tells me who you are. These Jews marveled and they looked at Christ. How does he know this? We didn't teach him this. And you will face that with other Christians because you're not from their church, you didn't go to their school, you're not part of their group. They'll look at you. How do you know that? We didn't teach you that. You're not one of ours. You're not one of us. I never strove to be. I'm one of his. And then the world will look at you the same way. You know, you're just foolish. Who are you? I mean, Christ hadn't gone to any other schools. You're foolish. You didn't do anything beyond high school. Why would I listen to you every Sunday morning? You did very little after high school. Why would I listen to you? I'm so much smarter than you. I've learned so much more than you. If you don't know what this book says, you've learned nothing. You've learned nothing. If you don't know what this book says, which, by the way, the gospel is not hard to understand. So why is it rejected by so many people? The foolishness of preaching, they see it as foolishness. In their own wisdom, they have rejected God. Now, let me close with this. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. What do we take away from this morning? I believe what we take away from this morning is this. And I know that it sounds very simple. And really it is. We just, a lot of times, have a hard time with simple things. Here's Christ in the temple. He's preaching. They need to hear what he's saying. They need to get this. They need to repent and trust him. They need to believe. But instead, how's he know this? We didn't teach him that. Where'd he get this from? It becomes this intellectual sort of battle. Okay? So you and I ought not be surprised when people of other churches, other Bible colleges, college in general, advanced degrees, someone who has been educated by the world more than we have, you and I ought not be surprised when those people look at us Christians and say, well, what do you know? What do you know? That's why we went back to 1 Corinthians there. What do you know? Because the world is full of people who have, they're so wise in their own deceit. They're so wise in the things of the world. And they're fools when it comes to the Bible. Now, here's what we need to walk away from. Here's what we need to take with us today. Here's what I believe we need to take with us today. We're going to have that, okay? We're going to have that. But what we need to do is not let it discourage us, not let it bother us, not let it get to us, and not buy into the devil's lie of, they all know more than you. They know more than you do about this. We need, God forbid we buy into that lie. Would to God that we would continue to say, I don't care how much you've learned, I don't care how many letters you have behind your name, I know what God's Word says. He's my teacher. He's my teacher. You know what's nice about a place like this? Is that we've got a little bit of everything in here. We've got high school graduates. We've got college graduates. We have college professors. We have school teachers, public school teachers, and people who used to teach public school. We've got all different levels of education as far as secular education goes. But what's nice is we all come in here and say, the most important thing is being taught of God, isn't it? And God forbid any of us that have more education than somebody else look at somebody and think because of that secular education that... Now, obviously there are situations where that's true. Okay? You don't want me doing your surgery. That's when it's good to get somebody that's had the education. You don't want me doing certain things or teaching you certain things. We want somebody that knows. But that isn't what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how the world views Christians as a bunch of simpletons who don't know anything. Because we haven't been educated by them. No, we're educated by God. Okay? We're educated by God. Again, 1 Corinthians, what we just read. And then we also have to remember that even inside Christianity, sometimes there will be those who will say, yeah, but you didn't come out of our church. You didn't come out of our school. You didn't learn that from us. Yeah, but am I wrong in what I'm saying? Is it not in Scripture? Okay, let's close with this. The thing is, we're going to be up against this. We're going to be up against this. Don't ever let your secular education or your lack of secular education make you feel inferior when it comes to proclaiming God's Word. Because if you know God's Word, you've had the best teacher, and that's God Himself. Okay? Let us never feel like, well, I've learned so much from the world, I'm better than this person. Let us never feel like, well, I've not been to those schools, but I just need to keep my mouth shut. No, if you've been taught by God, And you know what His Word says. You open your mouth and don't be intimidated and tell people what God's Word says. And they will laugh and call you foolish. They always have. Okay, but look at Psalm 119 and verse 18. Who is our teacher? Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let me ask you this. Who's your teacher? Who is your teacher? Who has taught you God's Word? Now, I realize that as a pastor, I open God's Word and teach it, and we. But who's teaching me and teaching all of us at the same time? It's not my Word, is it? It's His Word. And before I ever preach it, and before you ever hear it, and before any of us ever, we all need to say, Lord, help me see it. Open thou mine eyes. You know what this is? Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know what this is? This is, I'm not going to sit on the floor, but this is just getting right up at His feet. Getting right up at His feet and saying, teach me. You tell me. Help me see it. I want to know. And you know, that needs to be my attitude when I study and prepare sermons and try to help the church. And it has to be all of our attitude whenever we listen and receive it. It should never be, Pastor Utley, tell us what it's all about. Well, Pastor Utley doesn't know what it's all about. It should be, God, open our eyes and teach us. Use whatever man you want up here as an instrument, but it's His Word and He's the one that teaches us. I have to do that. You have to do that. So why would we ever be intimidated because we don't have their level of education? Why would we ever be worried about that or bothered by that? Why would we think that we were better than somebody else because we had more education if God is our teacher? And I'll tell you this, you're not going to certain schools without the right money, the right connections, the right grades, the right scholarship. You're not going. There are places that some of us never could have gotten into. I probably couldn't get in a second-rate heating and air correspondence course with my grades from high school. I remember when I was a kid, they had all these commercials about all these things you could learn. You know, send away for these courses and would teach you how to work on lawnmowers and stuff like that. And a lot of people used to do that. It's funny how now the commercials that you see are, we'll help you sue somebody. You ever notice that? It used to be, learn how to be a paralegal, learn how to do this, learn how to work on engines, learn how to do that. Truck drivers, we'll put you to work, you know, train on. And now it's got a wrongful death, got an annuity, got a, you know, have you been the victim of this? Did you take this medicine and now your leg's falling off? Everything is, we'll help you sue somebody. It used to be, get up and go to work, we'll show you how to go to work. Now it's, we'll help you get some money out of somebody so you don't have to. Hey, I came out of high school, one of those correspondence courses probably would have turned me down. And said, no, we don't want you working on lawnmowers. You're liable to blow it up or something. What I'm saying is you can't get into certain places because you don't have the money, you don't have the grades, you don't have this, you don't have that. Can every single born-again believer come to God's feet and say, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law? Absolutely. Every one of us can be taught by Him. So let us be taught by Him. Let us value this education more than any other education, and let us not be intimidated by people who try to throw their education in our faces, and let us not be the ones throwing our education in their faces. That's a lot, isn't it? Yeah, but we got a whole week to work on it before we come back and get some more. Well, we got a whole afternoon before we come back tonight and get some more. But look, This is our textbook. This is our curriculum. I'm going to be careful. I almost felt like Joel Osteen. You ever seen him do that? He goes, "This is my Bible," and they all chant before every one of his sermons. Almost felt like Joel Osteen. This is our curriculum. This is our textbook. And God is our teacher. And He will educate anyone who wants to be His student. If we just say, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for, again, as we've already prayed, that You've given us Your truth. And that anyone who wants to know it, You'll teach us. And we thank You, Lord, that we don't have to be wise in the way that the world is wise. We just need to come to You and let You teach us. And that You'll take a humble, willing heart and use us for Your glory and for the benefit of others. Help us to be bold in our witness. Help us to not be silenced by the world. Help us to proclaim Your truth. Help us to have You as our only teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.